The story is told that after Gautama the Buddha achieved enlightenment, people from far and wide would come to him and they would ask, "What exactly are you? Are you a god?" The Buddha would reply, "No." They would then ask, "Are you an angel?" "No," he would again reply. "Well, are you a saint or a prophet?" they would want to know. "No," the Buddha would say. "Then what are you?" the people would demand. And this enlightened man would simply say, "I am awake." The Armenian mystic Gurdjieff has said that most people spend most of their lives asleep. Are we really mostly asleep? Are you? I would like to explore this question with you today because I believe that most of us can benefit from being reminded, at least from time to time, to become more aware, more awake and mindful of the present moment in our all too busy and preoccupied lives. What does it mean to assert that we spend most of our lives asleep? After all, our eyes are open for most of the day, and we occupy our days doing things, often doing a great many things. But are we awake in the sense in which the Buddha used the term? Or are we metaphorically sleepwalking through our lives? Here is an example of my own style of sleepwalking. While driving my car, I'm half listening to the radio news, and my mind is racing over tasks to be done, calls to be made, and so on. Sometimes, I'm not proud of this, I'm also putting on sunscreen, or I'm rifling through papers on the seat next to me to be sure I have everything I need for the day. It is truly frenetic, this multitasking behavior, and I do not recommend driving in this state. I am sleepwalking because I am not really taking life in. I am not aware of the present moment. I'm barely aware that I'm driving. How many of you sit down to eat when you're alone and prop up a book or newspaper in front of you? I certainly do this. When you do this, do you really taste what you're eating? I came across an article a couple of years ago on trying to live a balanced life. In it, writer Deborah Dallinger paints a sad modern scene. There she was in beautiful Venice, peacefully riding a gondola down one of Venice's famous canals, when she spotted another gondola approaching in the opposite direction, from the opposite direction. And in that gondola, she saw a 30-something American man who was earnestly conducting business on a cell phone while the boat was passing an important historic site. What a picture. Just picture that. Many Americans, like this man, are so wrapped up in their work that they miss life in the process. This is our modern tragedy, captured in an image. If we're not careful, we can sleepwalk right through our lives. As a modern aphorism puts it, life is what happens while you're making other plans. We may indeed miss truly experiencing life while we're in the process of planning to live it. In Aldous Huxley's utopian novel, Island, which depicts a society of people who live according to Buddhist ways, there are minor birds that populate the whole island and that have been taught to say Karuna, which in Sanskrit means attention. These bird calls to attention come at unexpected intervals throughout the day, helping to remind people to stop what they're doing and become awake to the present moment. What is being truly awake like? Here is a story as an illustration from a Buddhist sutra. This version comes from Paul Repp's Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. A man traveling across a field encountered a tiger. He fled, and the tiger after him. Coming to a precipice, he caught hold of the root of a wild vine and swung himself down over the edge. The tiger sniffed at him from above. Trembling, the man looked down to where, far below, another tiger was waiting to eat him. Only that vine sustained him. Two mice, one white and one black, little by little started to gnaw away on the vine. The man saw a luscious strawberry near him. Grasping the vine with one hand, he plucked the strawberry with the other and ate it. How sweet it tasted. Well, this is, of course, an extreme and quite fictional account. Even the Buddha himself might not be so calm under such circumstances. But the point of this Buddhist sutra is the importance, the ecstasy of living fully in the present moment. To taste, really taste the strawberry with no thought or worry about the future or no ruminating about the past. To really listen to a piece of music and not have it playing merely as a backdrop to our thoughts, or to really see the beauty of a sunset and not also be thinking of 1,000 details and deadlines, to be truly present to what is happening in this moment and notice what is happening now, the sounds, sights, odors, tastes, the sensations. The Zen philosopher Alan Watts once wrote, "No one imagines that a symphony is supposed to improve in quality as it goes along, or that the whole object of playing it is to reach the finale. The point of music is to be discovered in every moment of playing and listening to it." Our lives are like that symphony, unfolding in every moment. And each moment has something to offer us, to tell us about our innermost selves, if we let it. But if we are always caught up in trying to reach some goal, some endpoint, or always expecting the symphony of life to improve as it goes along, we may miss the present beauty as it unfolds right before us. Surely, of course, we can't be present in every single waking moment, present in this sense. To do so would be to give up on our other worldly preoccupations, which often involve recollecting the past or allowing our minds to wander while we pursue some rote task or making plans for the future. But if we are never truly mindful, aware, and fully awake to the present moment, we can miss the gift that life really is. Maintaining a present awareness may sound like a simple task, but as those of you who have tried it know, it isn't at all. Mindfulness takes time and discipline. And although I don't practice it nearly often enough myself, I can tell you that it is worth the effort. By becoming mindful, you can learn about yourself and the workings of your mind. You can focus on a life problem or worry and begin to feel yourself transcending it, getting some valuable perspective. You can get in touch with an inner core of strength and calm that I believe we all have. you can experience a truly ecstatic spiritual moment. You can feel firsthand your intimate connection to God, nature, being, the cosmos, the ultimate, the still small voice, however you label this for yourself. Our deep connection with being really is always there, but we are usually unaware. As Jesus said, the realm of heaven is already set before you, but you do not see it. We are all too often, as the poet T.S. Eliot put it, distracted from distraction by distraction. Sometimes it is life's inevitable moments of pain that snap us into awareness, and the awareness leads eventually to healing. As Julia Cameron in her book, The Artist's Way, says, the reward for attention is always healing. It may begin as the healing of a particular pain, the lost lover, the sickly child, the shattered dream. But what is healed finally is the pain that underlies all pain, the pain that we are all unutterably alone. More than anything else, attention is an act of connection. Mindfulness can also be healing and an act of connection when we fully pay attention to another person. A psychotherapist, for instance, must be fully present in the moment when listening to his or her client, without imposing his or her own needs or agenda on that client. All of us can offer our full attention as a gift to someone else, someone in need. Often, in fact, true present attention, rather than any words of solace, is the best and most healing thing we can give to another human being. Many people throughout the ages have invented and taught and written about techniques for becoming truly aware and awake. These include meditation of many different types, journal writing or focused writing, and other creative pursuits, physical exercises, and prayer. The writer Simone Weil said, the habit of attention is in fact the very substance of what prayer is. We may have to sit still long enough and on a regular enough basis to learn mindfulness, but once we do, we can be awake and fully present at many points in our lives, even when we perform the most mundane tasks. The mystic Carmelite nun, Teresa of Avila, it is said, had firsthand trouble with reconciling her everyday duties as a nun with the life of the transcendent spirit that she was supposed to be living at the convent. But eventually, she was able to see even such tasks as sweeping the floor, washing the dishes, and folding the sheets as a kind of prayer. She learned to see the face of God in the folded sheets, as she put it, which is another way of saying that she became mindful and truly awake to the present moment, whatever she was doing. The poet William Carlos Williams had a very simple self-assignment in awareness, one that I have used. He labeled a notebook, "Things I Noticed Today That I Did Not Notice Until Today." Interestingly titled notebook. And in that notebook, he would record observations, sights, sounds, odors, tastes, sensations, and feelings that struck him for the first time, whatever they might be. Into the notebook went observations of even the most ordinary things. Using this daily awareness practice, he could then produce such simple, elegant poems as these. The first one is titled "The Red Wheelbarrow." So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow, glazed with rain water, beside the white chickens. and this one is Nantucket. Flowers through the window, lavender and yellow, changed by white curtains, smell of cleanliness, sunshine of late afternoon. On the glass tray, a glass pitcher, the tumbler turned down, by which a key is lying, and the immaculate white bed. We can see the pictures he paints. Williams, who was known as a major American poet, actually had a busy day job as a physician. Yet he found time through this simple notebook exercise to be in the present moment with his senses awake and to turn these observations into poetry. What creative heights could we soar to if we just paid attention from time to time? When we buy a raffle ticket to win a prize for some charity, the ticket stub often says, "You need not be present at the drawing to win." This may be true for winning at a raffle drawing, but in our lives, the opposite is true. You must be present to win. We must be fully present to life, at least at times, to reap the rewards of living. And the rewards are plenty, like healing, wholeness, connectedness, beauty, self-understanding, insight, ecstasy, and love. So may your lives be graced from time to time, at least, with the precious gift of present awareness. You must be present to win.